All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. January 22nd, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I'm sure it's great wherever you are at. It's all perspective, right? Just got home. Went to the gym this morning. Beautiful morning. Wore shorts. Went down there. It was beautiful. I mean, you know, it's cold, but, you know, there's cold and there's like really cold, and it's not that bad, especially with this huge storm that's supposed to be coming. Everyone's freaking out, but whatever. It'll be good. The storm showed up last month. I guess it's this past Monday. All of a sudden, we have this storm on the horizon, and then everything's going crazy, and you see, you know, 19 different versions of what's going to happen, and as we get closer, clearly, you know, they start to hone in on it, but it does appear like we will be getting some snow, so it's pretty nice out considering what is coming. And but yeah, back to the gym, slacking a bit on the gym. And I don't know why I like going to the gym. I sort of have, I'm not a germaphobe, but I definitely don't want to get sick. And I definitely hear people all around talking about the flus around and not much about COVID, which is kind of funny. But a lot of flu and different things, and I'm like, ugh. And, you know, knock on wood, I haven't been sick. I have not. You know, I remember trying to avoid getting sick before we went to Mexico back in October. And here we are into January and still haven't gotten sick. I don't know if it's just because I'm around so many different people getting microdosed of germs and stuff, but I don't know, I feel pretty good. I'll probably get sick now since I said that. But I think it's been sort of part of my reason I have not been going to the gym a little bit is because I just, you know, I feel like I just want to sort of avoid, you know, wet areas. And that would definitely fall under that category, wet. So, but yeah, I got up this morning. And, then, you know, it's also just the line of bullshit that I feed myself when I don't feel like doing something. And the reality is I definitely need to keep going to the gym. I feel a lot better. I'm not doing anything. I'm not taking creatine, right? I'm not taking any vitamins. I'm not doing any, you know, supplements. I'm just want to stay active, right? Use it or lose it. And so I've been trying to use it. And when I go to the gym, it's like meetings, right? When I go to the gym, I just feel better. And I need to start feeling a little bit better. I've had a very emotional week because I had to pay my taxes. And I don't know if I've talked about it in this podcast, but that was a very emotional event because it is. So that was on the 14th. So that was, maybe I talked about it. Maybe it was a podcast I did before, but, you know, I just paid all of those estimated taxes, and it was a lot of money. And not only was it a lot of money going out, but it was a real one of those moments where you have to stop and say, all right, we need to take an honest look at this and figure out what the fuck's going on. And so we did. And then Monday, my wife and I had a meeting with our tax person, right? He does our taxes. He does my dad's taxes. And I'm like, dude, what is up? And so he sat down. You know, my wife always thinks that I have some other place that I put money. I don't know where you're putting all this money. And I'm like, I got no more money. You know, this is what I got. You know, she can be a little, you know, human, right? Just like the rest of us. And I said, we have an appointment on Monday with the tax guy, and you're going because I want you to realize that I'm actually broke and I'm not hiding any money.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses, Think About You. Wow. No wonder they took over the world by storm, man. What a great song. What a great album. I'll never forget when that album came out. Lived in Albuquerque. It was a game changer. You know, in my time, in my life, I can think of a few bands that were game changers like that. Guns N' Roses, clearly one of them. Nirvana, Pearl Jam. I don't know. And I think of even back to those days when I was digging that music. It wasn't even Nirvana, and it wasn't even Pearl Jam. It was really Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains, really. Actually, if I'm really going to think about it, it was probably Soundgarden. Because I'll never forget reading an article about how Axl was digging this, what was his name? The guy from Soundgarden. This, oh, shit. Anyway, the singer for Soundgarden and Chris Cornell. God damn. Sorry, Chris. But talking about how this Chris Cornell was some amazing singer, and I'm like, shit, if Axl says it, I'm going to check it out. And buying the first Soundgarden album was like blown away. And then Alice in Chains showed up, and then it was Stone Temple Pilots, and then all of a sudden the emergence of Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and phew, that was a game changer. That shifted everything. But definitely Guns N' Roses was a big deal. I think that was coming out of kind of like, I mean, Metallica. Metallica was sort of raging back in those days, but definitely great album. But so, yeah, we went and met with the guy and got that all cleared up. And, you know, it's not like my wife really thinks I'm hiding money, but it's just sometimes when it comes to taxes, it's like, what the fuck? And so, you know, we met with him. We feel better about it. We both agreed we have to do better. I'm going to start putting a little bit more money aside and try to, be a little better prepared, right? And how do I learn that, right? Is it this program? Kind of, I guess. I think it's called accountability. And believe me, I was lacking that when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had zero accountability. It was everybody else's fault. And, I think that's the huge awakening, right? We admitted, right? The first humble thing, we admitted we became accountable. And, it's been a great path. So, but yeah, I just thought I would come upstairs. I want to get back into doing the podcast a little more often. I don't know what's been up with me. They're just spirits, I guess, sort of stopping me from doing it. And I really just, I need to just lighten the fuck up and just come up here and shoot the shit with you and catch up a little bit and read some stuff and then let it go and move on. So here I am. Here we are. And I'm excited. So last night, big night, you know, my big boy, one of my sponsees, of course, celebrated his 3 years. I dug out one of my coins. I said to him, I've been waiting 14 years to give you a person this coin. And it was really cool. He did a great job sharing. You know, he's a good guy. He's a little smart for his own good. And I shared with, because he sat up front. And I shared with him and I said, listen, man, there's greater things that can happen. If we could really sit down and start trying to work these steps. And, I remember coming into the program and I was a little too smart for my own good. I sort of had it figured out, right? I sort of had the idea that all my problems really stemmed because I drank too much. And that's true. But once I put down the bottle, more would be revealed. And luckily I had the right people around me and they sat me down. And through time, right, I just celebrated 17 years. I've been doing this almost 30, right? I've been doing it a long time. And over time, slowly but surely, on my own, under the guidance of people, I started to see the light and started to realize how these steps have really helped me in my life. And as much as I think he's doing a great job, I think he still falls under the idea that I don't drink anymore, so I fix the problem. Right? And I guess, and to each his own, right? His journey. And maybe that's it, right? Maybe that's it. That's what I thought, right? That's what I wanted. I'm like, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not drinking and driving. Problem solved. But the problem is, right, more shall be revealed than it does, and, then it's up to us. And so my message was to him, man, I hope we can start really getting into the steps and try to figure out some more things and try to find serenity, right? Try to move forward with some of these things. And he was like, yeah. And so, but you know, it's there's no rush. And he's doing good. He's happy. So proud of him. Congratulations, buddy. But he actually brought up a really interesting topic, which, you know, was definitely on my mind early recovery, which is habits. And I used to think, you know, my drinking was a habit. And there's still part of it. I would say, you know, every day I would wake up, you know, drunk or buzzed, right? And I would struggle through the day, promising myself through the day that I will not drink tonight. And then 5 o'clock comes and I literally have this void, right? And sometimes I could do it, right? If I was really fucking fucked up from the night before and having a hard time, I could probably take a night off, right? Because not because I gave a shit, it's because I felt like shit. And I could probably, you know, push through one day, but come day two, right? The habit shows up because about 5 o'clock, I'm ready to have a drink. It's what I do every day. And to stop doing that is really difficult, especially when I am an active alcoholic, right? And so I would just be like, all right, well, let's. So the habit of drinking was always there. What I drank was always up in the air. You know, usually it'd be like, let's just drink some beer tonight, Tom. Let's not drink vodka. Vodka's the problem. Sometimes I would buy whiskey, rum. I don't know. I would try everything. And the outcome was always the same. Maybe the buzz was different. In fact, if I decided to drink rum or something else, I never thought I was getting a good enough buzz. And I always ended up going back to vodka. But the act was what I drank was always up in the air. But the act of 5 o'clock-ish sometime was, you know, have a drink. And usually day two, I would fall back into that habit because I had nothing to replace it with. And, but you know, my life today is a series of habits, right? You know, I get up, I mean, from the time my feet hit the floor, it's a habit. Grab a shirt, get my pants, get the coffee, go to my office, turn on the computer, look at my phone, sit there for so long, go out, check in on my wife, take a shower, go to work. It's all a routine, right? And, I think one of the, cool things, and I know it was very helpful for me when I came into the program, was to have meetings, right? some of these things, like, you know, I don't know why sometimes, I guess it's probably hard for people to get to a 5 o'clock meeting. I'm sure there are 5 o'clock meetings somewhere, but from 5 to 8 always seemed like a tough time for me. And maybe at 8 o'clock is why they made meetings, is because that's when people started drinking and it was something to fill the time. That would make sense. But I remember coming into the program and being like, I need to fill this time. And my sponsor was like, if you don't have a job, you need to go to a meeting every day. If you have nothing to do, you should go to a meeting. And I see that all the time. I see people hit meetings, and one of the guys I'm sponsoring, he's hitting 2 meetings a day, which I think is great, right? Because we're just trying to build new habits. And, you know, nothing changed my life more than being around people in the program, right? Just me observing how they behaved, the interaction, the handshakes, the hugging, right? The coffee, you know, all the different things that took place. And I remember sitting there going, wow, I want to be like these people. And I remember really inside saying, I really want to make the coffee, right? I really want that job. I really, you know, I was so desperate to just do something positive in my life. And hold on, let's see. Speaking of coffee, let me have some. But yeah, I was so desperate to want to do something positive in my life. And I just remember, I can't wait till I can take on the coffee commitment. I probably asked right away. And someone said, you know, you probably need a little more time. But they said, listen, if you want to make coffee, show up early and help the guy making coffee. And I was like, you got it, man. And because I had so much free time that I was so used to filling with drinking or recovering that, you know, I just went after it and I took it on and it saved me, you know, because not only did I get to, you know, get here early, you know, I would get off work, I would come home, I would take a shower, I would get something to eat, right? Take a shower, put on fresh clothes, I would get to the meeting early, help fill the coffee pot, put the cups and stuff out and the cookies and, you know, get the chairs straight, lay out the literature, put the book up, set up everything, have it all set up, right? And in the meantime, chatting with whoever was setting up the meeting and watching them as being an example. And, you know, just learning from that experience, little bits at a time. And then finally, I remember being able to take on, you know, the secretary position, which I got a key, right? And I got to open the door, and I would get there an hour early, right? No, nothing's going to stop me. And it was just, it slowly taught me without somebody sitting there and going, watch this, be like me, right? I'm sure there was people pleasing in there, still character defects, you know, running rampant, but, you know, maybe they were helping me at this time, at least. I don't think there's anything wrong with people pleasing, just as long as it's not, you know, unmanageable, right? You know, I think we should, you know, all try to please people and be of service and help other humans and, you know, wear a smile on our face, right? So, but I thought it was a great topic because it is a huge deal, you know. Drinking is, putting the drink in my mouth, the first drink in my mouth is a habit. What happens after that is a spiritual malady. It is a possession. This is what I believe, you know, to each his own, but I believe that as soon as I put alcohol in my mouth, it allows a spirit to come in and basically drive this car. And it's the only excuse I have for the behavior and the things that I did while I was under the influence, because a person today who doesn't drink looks at those things and goes, what a fucking idiot, right? What an idiot. And it was a possession, and, you know, you know, there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great things around me. Another guy, he's going to celebrate, I think, 11 months today. And man, he's been trying to get sober for a long time. And I talked to him after the meeting. And I'm like, you know, I just want to tell you, man, I'm really proud of you. You know, you're really doing a great job. And this is a guy. He's got such potential, right? He's young, right? And he does a lot of stuff on the internet and Instagram, and he's, you know, I don't know if he tries to be an influencer, but, you know, he's got that passion. He's into fitness, and, you know, I don't know if that's a little self-serving and could be a little problem later, but, you know, he takes on the day. I'm not always sure it's correct, the motivation's correct, but he's, you know, he's taking on the day. And I go, man, if you could just get this sobriety thing, man, you're going to have a great life. You got a lot of great potential. And I've known him probably 20 years, and I've known him when he wasn't trying to get sober, and then he would come in and out, and he was always coming the last one to show up and the first one to leave, whole thing. And now he's there early, and he's making the coffee, and he's just in the herd. And when a person decides to finally come into the herd, I know that they are, you know, they care, right? They give a shit. And, you know, it's a big deal. The people that I sponsor, that's the first thing I say, you know, you got to be in the herd, right? You can't be the last one here and the first one to leave. You have to be here early. You have to shake hands. You have to have a sobriety date. You have to share it, right? You have to help. You have to be accountable. You have to be people. When you're not here, people need to ask why, right? And if they're not going to do that, you know, the experiment doesn't usually last that long. There's another guy I started sponsoring. He's doing everything he's supposed to, 2 meetings a day, getting there early, calling me every day. He's just, you know, it's just, you can see when a person finally, you know, gets excited about it. And I think it's the biggest difference is really just becoming part of the group, right? Part of the herd. My sponsor, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys, and they were all there, and one was celebrating. And, I think my buddy, the one guy, celebrates a month today. I'll have to call him and check. But, you know, it's pretty awesome. And like I said, I don't take any credit for that. We're just doing it together. And I'm just grateful that they're in my life, and because they've really helped me a lot. And, you know, I'm a big fan. So, all right, let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go to work. I got a big day. I'm going to work. I got a full day of work. And yeah. All right. January 22nd. Let's keep it simple. A few hours later, I took my leave of Dr. Bob. The wonderful old broad smile was on his face as he said almost jokingly, "Remember, Bill, let's not louse this thing up. Let's keep it simple." I turned away, unable to say a word. That was the last time I ever saw him. Alcoholics Anonymous comes of age, page 214. After years of sobriety, I occasionally ask myself, can it be this simple? Then at meetings, I see former cynics and skeptics who have walked the AA path out of hell by packaging their lives without alcohol into 24-hour segments, during which they practice a few principles to the best of their individual abilities. And then I know again that, while it isn't always easy, if I keep it simple, it works. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure what that means. I mean, I know what that means, but it, you know, I think it's, yeah, I think, you know, I think when I was sharing, you know, one of the things, like I shared yesterday, was minding my own business. Minding my own business, right, and sort of being aware of inconveniences saves me a lot of trouble, right? And I even think when I don't mind my own business, when I do poke my nose into other people's business, I become inconvenienced by them, right? And then who shows up? Arrogance, right? Old arrogance. And so, you know, inconvenience, and I said that to my friend last night. I go, really, you know, at this stage, we're really just managing inconvenience. It's really about, you know, preparing. You know, I try to prepare for the day. I try to stay in my lane. I try to mind my own business. I try to do a 10th step. You know, I try to have contact with my higher power, but I also have to try to have contact with my day, right? And see what the day holds, who's coming in, how will I handle it, who's going to probably allow me to finish a little bit early, is there going to be space, can I get a little something to eat? You know, I have to plan out the day. I just can't take on, you know, hey, I'm awake, let's see what the day brings me. I can't live like that. I have to look at the day. All right, so I got to be to work at 11. I'm going to hit the gym. I'll be home by then. I can do this. My first client's this great lady. I'm going to have to do a haircut while she's processing. Let me be mindful of that. Let me maybe get her stuff ready prior. Oh, look who's coming in. This lady's a great lady, but she will be early. If I'm finished early with the client before, I will probably start her early. If I have a cut that goes inside of that service, you know, I have to be careful because if I get her done too early and then the haircut shows up late, then I could. And so I said, all right. So sometimes a person will come in. I'll say, I can't start you yet. I got to wait 5 minutes, right? I have to think and keep it very simple. And the more, you know, the more work I do to plan out and prepare for my day, right, the better the day is, right? It's when all of a sudden I am just completely out of sorts. And this happens, you know, I'll have a normal day going, no problems. And then all of a sudden someone will show up like an hour early and they'll be like, oh, I thought this was my appointment. And all of a sudden, you know, the whole day flies into the ditch. And, you know, but that's where I have to be like, hey, listen, we can figure this out. Right. Sometimes I'll get annoyed. Right. It says it on my face that I'm annoyed. I had a guy come in the other day, yeah, Tuesday, I guess it was, and he's kind of a ball buster, and it's fine, but he comes in, and he's like 10 minutes early, and I, you know, I'm actually sitting down talking with a sales rep because I need, you know, things, and he's like, oh, you know, he's, you know, I could hear him over there saying shit, and I'm like, I'm just gonna not gonna bother, I'm just gonna let this go, and, I had to make a conscious effort to not be a jerk to him and, or not just to, I guess maybe jump in the mud with him really. You know, he's kind of a ball buster and, I can be that way too. So, I just have to, you know, I just have to be mindful, right? I just have to be mindful of what's going on because in the end, right? I just want some peace, man. I don't want to be stressing too bad and, we can do it. All right, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I'm going to probably end this a little bit early, but I'm going to try to get back into this. I know I always say that, but I just got to take it light, all right? Peace. Later.